the name of God. Iran is hosting the 8th summit of the General Assembly of the Islamic Radio and Television Union in the capital city of Tehran. The event kicked off during a ceremony attended by Iranian President Hassan Rouhani, President of the Islamic Republic of Iran Broadcasting, Mohammad Sarafroz, and top officials from Iran and other Muslim countries. This year's event hosts political figures, channel directors, and media experts from 220 radio and television stations of 35 countries, including from Iraq, Lebanon, Palestine, Turkey, Egypt, Kuwait, and the Republic of Azerbaijan. Titled Prophet of Mercy, Mission of Resistance Media, the gathering aims to unite Muslim media to dispel the baseless myth about the connection between Islam and violence. A number of exhibitions and cultural events will also be held on the sidelines of the summit. The 8th summit of the General Assembly of Islamic Radio and Television Union will run until August 18. A top advisor to Iran's leader says the main duty of the resistance axis in the region is to block the influence of the United States, warning of the U.S. plots to sow discord among Muslim countries. Addressing the opening ceremony of the 8th General Assembly of the Islamic Radio and Television Union in Tehran, Ali Akbar Velayati said the duty of the resistance axis is not only to fight against the dominance of foreigners in the country, but also to cut the influence of the U.S. in the region. Velayati also stated that Washington's plot is to instigate conflict among different groups and sects in the Muslim countries, calling for a united front against this plot. He further noted that mercenaries are currently fighting in Muslim countries to materialize the goals of the United States, adding that people in Iraq, Syria, and other Muslim countries will stand against these mercenaries. Velayati said hegemonic powers' dreams of splitting Muslim countries, particularly Iraq and Syria, will never come true. He noted that the U.S. failed in its military aggression against Afghanistan and Iraq, adding that Washington and its allies now plan to partition Syria. He said Syria is the golden ring of resistance against the Zionist regime and the U.S.-led alliance, and the U.S. alliance has not succeeded in achieving its goals in the country because of the leadership of President Assad and the resistance of the Syrian nation. Velayati also referred to the developments in Yemen, emphasizing that the U.S. and its allies plan to divide the country as well. Also addressing the gathering, the Hezbollah's Deputy Secretary General says the resistance group coordination with the Lebanese army has defeated terrorist groups like ISIL and Al-Qaeda-linked Al-Nusra Front. Sheikh Naim Qasem said the liberation of some towns and villages along the Lebanese-Syrian border has established a secure zone between the two countries. He said the terrorists have suffered heavy blows inside Lebanon thanks to the close cooperation between Hezbollah and the Lebanese army. He noted that there have been no car bomb attacks inside Lebanon since last year, saying it was due to the Lebanese forces' firm stance against terrorists. He also said the enemy's intent to first topple the Syrian government and then follow up on the American and Zionist plots in the region, but have failed to achieve their objectives. Iranian Parliament Speaker Ali Larijani has censured certain countries in the Middle East region for their warmongering policies, saying their main mission is to fan the flames of the turmoil in the Muslim nations. Larijani said on Sunday that what we see in Syria, Iraq, Yemen, and many other Islamic countries are the main flames of fire originating from a divisive current. He added that the divisive countries in the region are deliberately fanning the flames of discord among Muslims. Elsewhere in his remarks, Larijani pointed to the successful conclusion of the nuclear talks between Iran and the six world powers, saying that the Iranian nation showed resistance and forced the West to accept the Islamic Republic's uranium enrichment rights. Zionist regime forces have attacked Palestinian demonstrators who were marching in solidarity with Mohammed Alon, an activist who recently fell into a coma following a two-month hunger strike in an Israeli jail. Dozens of demonstrators were injured when Zionist soldiers fired rounds of live ammunition used tear gas and sprayed wastewater mixed with chemicals to disperse the crowd in the town of Kafr Qadum in northern West Bank. The protesters called for an end to the Israeli occupation and crimes in the Palestinian lands, as well as the unconditional release of all prisoners in Zionist regime's custody. Alan, aged 31, slipped into unconsciousness on August 14 after 60 days into his hunger strike. He refused food to draw attention to his prolonged detention in an Israeli jail without charge or trial. Over 7,000 Palestinians are reportedly incarcerated in 17 Zionist regime's prisons and detention facilities, many of them without charge or trial. Still in the Middle East, Saudi warplanes continue to pound more areas across Yemen despite reports of civilian casualties in the country. According to local media reports, Saudi media military aircrafts targeted an airbase in the Yemeni capital city of Sana'a in their latest deadly airstrikes late on Saturday. Saudi warplanes also carried out an airstrike on the residential area in the Sada'a district of Yemen's southwestern province of Idlib. 4 civilians were killed, including 3 children. The jets also targeted a school in Ibn Kathir district. In a similar airstrike on the Harad district of the northwestern province of Hajja, over 10 civilians lost their lives. In retaliation for the deadly Saudi airstrikes, Yemen's Ansarullah fighters and allied army units conducted rocket attacks on Saudi military bases. The Yemeni forces shelled a military base in Dhahran al-Junub, which is located in southwestern Saudi Arabia, but there has been no immediate report on possible casualties. At least 2 Turkish soldiers have been killed in a shootout with the outlawed Kurdistan Workers Party, or the PKK, militants in northeastern Turkey. Local security officials said on Sunday that the soldiers were killed after Turkish security forces launched a raid on the PKK positions in the Kazman district of Kars province. At least another soldier was injured, while 3 PKK militants were killed in the clashes. Security forces also reportedly seized a large amount of arms and ammunition from the militants' hideouts. Also on Saturday, 3 Turkish soldiers were killed in a powerful bomb explosion in the Karliova district of the eastern province of Bengal. 3 soldiers were also killed in an exchange of fire with the PKK militants during the late hours of Friday in the southeastern province of Hakkari. In recent weeks, the Ankara government has been engaged in one of its biggest security operations in the southern borders. The Turkish military has been conducting offensives against purported positions of ISIL in northern Syria, as well as those of the PKK in northern Iraq and southeastern Turkey. At least 14 people have been killed in a bomb attack targeting the residence of a senior official in the eastern Pakistani province of Punjab. According to Pakistani police on Sunday, the home minister of the Punjab province is among those killed in the assault. Reports say that some people have remained trapped under the rubble caused by the attack in the town of Shadi Khan in Punjab's Atok district. The home minister of Punjab province was meeting with local residents when the bomb attack was carried out. Rescue efforts are underway to save those trapped under the rubble. No group has so far claimed responsibility for the attack. Militants, however, have conducted several attacks in the area in the past. The incident in the province comes weeks after the notorious leader of Pakistan's outlawed terrorist group, Jashkar-e-Jahangvi, who is Malik Ishaq, along with 13 other sectarian militants, were killed in the Muzaffara district of Punjab. And finally, an Indonesian passenger plane carrying 54 people has gone missing after losing contact with air control in the country's eastern Papua region. Officials said that the ATR turboprop plane, which was operated by the Indonesian carrier Trigana Air, went missing on Sunday. The aircraft had taken off from Jayapura, the capital of Papua province, and was preparing to land in the mountainous Oksibil district when it lost contact with the air traffic control at about 3 p.m. local time. According to officials, the aircraft contacted the Huskabee control tower just 10 minutes before its scheduled landing and asked to descend. However, the plane never arrived. The missing plane was carrying 44 adults, 5 children, and 5 crew members. Search operations for the plane have been suspended until tomorrow due to bad weather. However, Indonesian officials on Sunday cited local villagers as saying that they have found the wreckage of the ill-fated ATR-42-300 turboprop plane. However, a crash is not confirmed. Thank you very much indeed for being with us. Goodbye.